Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 6. I asked Casey to sing that this morning because it goes right along with my message, the title of which is The Anchor Holds. I appreciate her singing. That's probably one of my favorite songs. There's some folks sometimes don't maybe think that it's, somebody said one time it wasn't scripture because it didn't mention God, but it does in one place. But if I think we all know what anchor we're talking about when we sing about that. And I believe today, if there's ever a time we needed to know the anchor holds, it's today. And I pray today that you'll be encouraged and blessed by this. Nothing new this morning. In fact, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. But yet we need to rehearse over and over the things of the Word of God in order that we might understand them and realize the impact that they have upon our lives as we serve the Lord. So Hebrews chapter 6, I'm beginning reading verse number 16. The Bible said, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who hath fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the privilege we have to come together today. And Lord, once again, open and expound the truth of the Word of God. Lord, today I pray that you'd help me as I deal with a subject that I believe everyone here is already convinced of. But Lord, if there is one here today that doesn't understand it, I pray today that they'd be encouraged and strengthened by it. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. You know, as a Baptist, we're a member of a select group of people. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm not saying that we're any better than anybody else. I'm a Baptist because I believe the Baptist doctrine. I believe the Baptist truth. And I believe the Baptist is as close to the Bible as what it says. And I understand people are of different stripes and different denominations and all of that. But we Baptists are kind of a select group because there's a great majority of other religions that believe that you can lose your salvation. I'm glad today that through the pandemic, I have the hope that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ to know that I'm saved by the grace of God. And no matter what happens to me or where I end up, I'm going to end up with the Lord Jesus Christ and spend eternity with Him forever. There's nothing that can change that fact. When we get saved and born again, God gives us eternal life. The Bible said that nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither famine, nor nakedness, or peril, or sword, or any of those things is able to separate us from the love of God. We're not saved by our own power, but we're saved by the power of God. Therefore, for us to lose our salvation would have to become dependent upon us. But our salvation is not dependent upon us. It's what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary for our sin. It's been said that we're as sure for heaven as if we had already been there 10,000 years. And I want to tell you today, if you're saved, it's just as sure that you're there and going to be there forever and ever because of the salvation that the Lord has given to you. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, he said he has chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Friend, I want you to know today, I can't imagine only God, but can you imagine God knew everybody even before they were born? Do you know that God knew who would be saved and who would not be saved? And again, I think we need to understand that Jesus said he died for the sins of the whole world and everybody has an opportunity, but there's some that will reject him. But we were chosen before the foundation of the world. In Revelation 17 verse 8, it tells us that our names are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. I tell you today, we see that it's in the life. Somebody said, well, if everybody's name's in the book of life, I believe if you don't get saved, it'll be blotted out of the book of life, but God has recorded it there. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, 6, God hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if we read that scripture and understand it the way it is, then that tells me that basically we're already in heaven to a certain degree. Now, I know we're not in the physical place of heaven. We're not in the place where the street is gold and where the walls are made of jasper and the pearl and all the things that are there. But yet, if we're saved, we're in Christ, and as a result, we are assured for that place that He's given to us and given us eternal life. Now, the reason I chose this morning, I'm not going to go back. I'm not preaching on this morning. But you could go back to Hebrews chapter 6 and look verse 4 through 6. And I tell you, constantly, I'm encountered by people that want me to explain that verse. And I have preached on it from time to time. And said, well, to me, that says that you can lose your salvation. I believe today that this chapter tells us more so that we can't lose our salvation than it tells us we can lose our salvation. I believe today that people that hear the truth of the Word of God and reject the Word of God, there come a day when they will not be able to receive Christ because God draws the deadline. But interpreting these verses in verses 4 through 6, people twist it and try to make it say what they want and yet to threaten the believer and his salvation. But friend, I'm telling you today, if I can't trust God to do what He said He was going to do when He gave me eternal life, then I can't trust God in anything. But today I do trust God, and the Bible said down here that it's impossible for God to lie. Doesn't it say that? And so we find here the truth that is given to us. Now, where I'm going with this morning, I like the word that we find in the passage of Scripture called hope. Hope. Isn't it wonderful today to have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Today, you know, the word hope, when it was recorded in the book of, in the King James Bible, when it was recorded in the Bible times, it had a lot different meaning than it does today. Somebody said, I sure hope this coronavirus will be over soon. But that amount of hope has somewhat of a doubt that perhaps it may not be over. Somebody said, I hope that Aunt Mary would get well from her sickness. That hope is hoping that she will, but there's a possibility that she won't. But when we find here what Christ said to us, He said that he's an immutable things, and it's impossible for God to lie. But it says, which hope we have an anchor of the soul, a hope that is steadfast, a hope that is sure. An anchor that is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when the Bible speaks of hope, it does not speak of fear. It does not speak of uncertainty. The Apostle Paul said, didn't he not? I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I want you to know today, I know whom I have believed in. I know this morning who I'm trusting in. And I know today that I serve a God that has never failed me. And I know that my God will never fail me as long as I put my faith and trust in Him. As believers, we live our lives in three realms. We live in the past, we live in the present, and we live in the future. I tell you, the past is behind me, but thank God in my past, I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I live in the present. I'm living in a day and age which we're seeing things we've never seen before. There's this thing called a pandemic, and we see all these things that are taking place and transpiring all about us. But could I remind you today, God is still on the throne, and God is still able to meet our need. The past is taken care of by faith. The Bible said without faith it's impossible to believe, please God. Friend, I believe this morning that we need to have faith in God, understanding that He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day. The present is secured by love. Oh, today, isn't it wonderful? I tell you, you said, man, this has been rough. Listen, I don't think it's been too rough. I was talking to some folks a while ago before church, and we was talking about it, and I know it's been a difficult thing, and I know the kids, many of them, have saddened by not being able to finish school this year, and that's a very much of a heartache to them. But understand, friend, we still live in America, and even though there's been the pandemic, there's still plenty to eat. You may not be able to go sit down somewhere, although that's beginning to change. But there's plenty to eat everywhere. And we live in a country today that's been blessed. And you know why? Because the love of God that He has shed abroad upon our lives. And God has blessed America in this time of need. And our present is secured by His love. I'm grateful today that the future is secured by my hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, it's not the kind of hope that I say, well, I hope I go to heaven. Somebody that said, I hope I go to heaven, thinking that they might not make it, they might want to do some checking up to be sure they've done what they need to do to be sure they are going to heaven. Friend, I tell you, when I say, I'm not going to say I'm hoping I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to say my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to take me to heaven where I'm going to abide with Him one day forever and forever. I'd like to take this text this morning and preach to you a little bit about the security that we enjoy in the Lord. I've heard recently, and I know that there's been people that have been discouraged and despondent over this pandemic, and even people committed suicide and various things that have taken place. But friend, I'm going to tell you today, no matter what comes, what may, God, if He's your Savior, is still going to be your Savior throughout all eternity and all that you do. As we all know, Satan, the flesh, and the world, they love to hinder the saints of God. I tell you, me and Susan was talking, coming to church this morning, and I tell you, we said, boy, the devil's having himself a heyday. I tell you, he's enjoying the fact that our churches, I went by some churches this morning, and I said, some of them been closed up for 2 and 3 months, and the Word of God's not being preached, and things are not happening. And buddy, I tell you, the devil is having himself a time, enjoying the blessings of, for him, the blessings of us not being able to meet together. But here's his command about the matter. Here's what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. In 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, how can you make your election sure if you can lose what you got? You can't. He said, make your election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. In other words, he's telling us in the Word of God that if we're saved, we're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the hand of God. And friend, it doesn't mean that we can't backslide and get out of fellowship with God. But friend, if you're saved this morning, he's given you eternal life, and our hope is in him for all eternity. Here's how you know you're saved. The Bible said in Matthew 7:21-23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But listen, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Friend, there's more to just praying a prayer. I believe God saves us when we sincerely ask him to. But friend, salvation comes. I preached this morning on the radio on repentance. And I tell you, there needs to be repentance in our life to turn away from that sin that we've committed. But listen to what he said. Many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in thy name. And in thy name we've cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. But then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. In Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, the only way to get to heaven is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Acts 16:31, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'm grateful today that God saved us and give us eternal life. Well, let me get to my verses. I had a long introduction, but I'll move right along. I want you to see, first of all, we're anchored. What are we anchored to? Somebody was talking about the song a while ago. A friend, anytime we sing that in church, you understand, we talk about being anchored to the rock. And Jesus is the rock. And he's the rock of our salvation. But the first thing we notice, we're anchored in his promise. Look at verse 16 and then first part of 18. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He's confirmed it. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Where does our hope come from? It comes from the oath of the Word of God that God has given to each and every one of us. I'm grateful today if you would consider the promises of God. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans 10:9, he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In Romans 10, in verse 13, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I tell you how I know I'm going to heaven, because God promised me in his word time and time again. If I'd put my faith in him, he would save me by his marvelous grace. How can we be sure? The word immutable, found in verse 17 and 18, confirms it for us. The word immutable means unchangeable. And buddy, doesn't that describe God to the T? God is listen today, man, I tell you, me and you, we change like the wind. I tell you, one day we're one way, and one day we're another day. And I tell you, we're up and down and in and out. And sometimes we're strong, and sometimes we're weak. But I'm telling you, with God, he's always the same, because God does not change. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Because it's true, everything he promised in the past, we can stand on in the present, and we can depend on in the future, that one day we will be with him. Romans 6:23 tells us that salvation is a gift from God. I like that one, don't you? If it's a gift, what do you have to do to get it? Nothing. I tell you, I've never had to work for a Christmas gift or a birthday gift that anybody's ever given to me. They gave it to me, I hope, because they love me, but they wanted to give it to me. But friend, today the Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't think I've got to describe to you that word eternal. I think it stands for itself. If you trusted him for your soul's salvation, rejoice this morning. You're going to heaven. If you've taken him at his word, then there ought to be a shout in your voice and a spring in your step and joy in your heart. If you receive the promises related to salvation of your soul, then you need never fear anything that will happen to you, because absent from the body is going to be present with the Lord. And we're going to live with him for all eternity. Rejoicing today that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and because I've been saved, it can never be blotted out. We have God's promise, but we have God's pledge. If it weren't enough for God made his promise, he swore by himself. In other words, God placed his name on the line. I think it's Dixon Exterminating. I've seen an advertisement they got. And they go around to all their employees and they say, our name is on the line. Our name is on the line. And they're talking about doing their service. And one day they kind of didn't do what they're supposed to do here. And I called them up and I told the girl that answered the phone. And I said, I want to remind you, your name is on the line. Now, I was laughing and cutting up with her a little bit. But she said, yes, sir. I said, what does that mean? It means our whole reputation is staked on the name of Dixon Exterminating. Well, I tell you what, I don't believe you can put too much stock in anybody's name on this earth, because we all make mistakes. But I tell you, when God puts his name, when he signs the note and when he signs the end, it's there, and God gives us the understanding of what he's doing. You know, if any born-again child of God, now listen, this sounds kind of crazy, but listen me out. If a born-again child of God ever loses his salvation, did you know God loses more than we do? You say, wait a minute, how can that be? Listen to me. If a child of God can lose his salvation, he can lose his soul, but God's going to lose his character. And the Bible said God cannot lie, doesn't it? So listen, there's no chance of that, by the way, so don't get excited. There's no chance of that, because that ought to secure us and give us the hope that we have in him. He loses everything, because if a child of God goes to hell, then God has told a lie. But God can't lie. He always tells the truth. After all, it's eternal life. I tell you today, I'm anchored in the promises of the Word of God. I like the song, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King. Is it conditional? Is it based on the way we live, or the way you live, or the way I live? No, it's eternal. How long is eternal? It's never ending. Eternal is just exactly what it says it is. Then second of all, we are anchored in a place. Go back, if you would, look at verse number 18. He said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in that within the veil. Now, while it's a wonderful thing to have the Lord's personal promises on his salvation, back when we first started having church, I was a little nervous about having people here in the auditorium. I wasn't sure whether we were supposed to or not. But one day, somebody called me and said, hey, here's a video call with the governor. Log on there and listen to what he said. And I logged on there, and he got on there and he explained to church. He said, I don't have no problem. He said, if you have more than 10, he said, just spread them out. He said, I'm not going to tell churches what they can and cannot do. Well, boy, I tell you, the next Sunday when I come to church, I brought that link to that video, and I printed out what he had put down, and I brought it with me in case somebody showed up. I was going to say, I'm operating on the promises of the governor. But friend, this morning, I'm operating on the promises of my Lord and Savior, that he saved me and gave me eternal life. According to verse 18, we have an asylum in heaven. Notice what it said, and you might not quite catch it, but he said, who have fled for refuge. Now, back in the day, there were six cities in ancient Israel that served as havens of safety for someone who accidentally took somebody else's life. If they did it, they better get to the city of refuge as fast as possible. And once they got there, nobody could condemn them, nobody could touch them, nobody could punish them until they got a fair trial. And yet people would rush to get to the city of refuge, and I understand that they would make sure that it was easy accessible. There'd be no obstruction or anything in the way to keep them from getting there. They were well maintained, and people could flee the city to get to the safety for the avenger of their blood. They were safe in the city as long as the high priest lived, and after that, they were free to leave. But God compares our salvation to those cities. We come to Jesus. We were fleeing the wrath of God. I tell you today, I remember somebody said, I don't believe you ought to get saved because you're scared. Well, it worked for me. I heard a preacher talking about a place called hell, and I knew I didn't want to go there. And I remember turning my life over to him and giving him, and him giving me salvation. But I'm telling you, I went to the city of refuge. I went to the place called heaven. Our anchor, by the way, is in heaven. Our hope, we have an anchor. Another illustration of our security is found in verse 19. We're told that the anchor serves to secure the ship on the ocean. Now, just singing The Anchor Holds, we would immediately think about a ship. We'd think about that old heavy anchor they drop in order to keep them in a certain place. But the anchor extends down to the floor of the sea. It hooks. The anchor digs into the deep, into the seabed, holding it firmly on the sea floor. Spiritually saying, when we got saved, our ship has been anchored and secured by Jesus Christ. He's our strong anchor. In His Father's presence, there's nothing that will move us. I'm grateful today that the storms of life may batter your ship, but you'll still be anchored. I tell you today, we're still afloat, aren't we? I tell you, it's been a little rocky, and it's been a little up and down and ins and outs and all that we do, but the storms of life may batter your ship, but you're still anchored. The winds of affliction may blow against your ship, but you're still anchored. The waves of adversity may crash into your ship, but you're anchored into the Lord, and He'll hold. He'll never slip away. He'll never let go. Steadfast, He says, and sure. The word sure means can be relied upon. Friend, I'm here to report to you today, God can be relied upon. I want you to know He's steadfast, meaning He's unfailing. There's at least one major difference between us and the ship on the sea. When the ship drops the anchor, it's anchored down. When we drop our anchor, it's anchored up. And I tell you, you say, well, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy, because our anchor is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When He rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven, He sat down at the right hand of God. And when He did, the anchor was fixed in Him, never to slip anymore. While we remain in this world, we'll drift from time to time, but we'll only drift around the anchor point. We'll never get any further away. As a matter of fact, we're not anchored at a standstill. Every day the rope of faith is steadily being pulled by the Lord on the shores of home. I heard a fellow say the other day on the news, he said, well, we're one day closer to the end of the pandemic. That is, he knows something I don't know. He knows something all of us ought to know. Every day we're getting closer to the end. We don't know when the end is. But friend, every day we're getting closer to heaven, and the Lord continues to pull us in. Every adverse wave, every harsh wind, every mile of the journey brings us closer to home. And I tell you, we're headed in. There was a day when we were sailing out, but we're sailing in, and our anchor's secured right where we're going, and it's pulling us to the place we need to be. We're anchored in His promise. We're anchored in His place. But lastly, we are anchored in a person. Look at verse 20. He said, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God's covenant with His saints are the comfort of our refuge and our anchor ought to be enough to give us the assurance of our salvation. But there's one other thing I want you to see is the performance of our representative. Jesus is called here. Literally, He's talked about being our forerunner. Now, we think of forerunner, we think of John the Baptist. He went before the Lord and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But friend, in this case, Jesus became our forerunner. In this verse, He's called the forerunner. And basically what that means is a scout, who one who went ahead of the main group to prepare for their arrival. It literally means one who comes in advance to a place where the rest are to follow. Ancient harbors, and especially those in the writer of Hebrews was familiar with, was notoriously dangerous. So the boat carried the ship anchor, and they would chart a safe course for the anchor to be dropped. When the tide came in, all the sailors had to do was pull the rope toward the anchor. The ship would follow the path that was laid before it, and that small boat that went out to put the anchor down in the low tide was called the forerunner. So literally what happened is they would get to a place, and because the ship couldn't get any closer, that boat, they would send a little boat out with the anchor in it. He would go in further, closer to the shoreline, and he would drop the anchor, and then he would go back to the ship. When the high tide came back in, they would take the rope, and they would pull against the anchor, and it would pull them into the harbor where they would safely be able to disembark. And friend, that's what Jesus did for us. He went ahead in the boat, and He put the anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, every day we live, we just take Him one step at a time, one rope pull at a time. We're getting closer and closer to that place that He's prepared for us. He's already sailed ahead. He is our anchor. He's gone to heaven for us. He's announced our coming. He's made preparation. The Bible said in John 14, 1 through 3, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But not only is He pictured as the forerunner, He took the anchor in, He put it down in place, and now we're anchored. We don't ever have to pull up anchor no more. We just pull on the rope to get closer to the destination that God has prepared for us. But look, if you would again, Jesus is also made our high priest. That means Jesus is the one who is our mediator. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament period, the high priest would take the blood, he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. There was much ritual and much preparation that would be made. He would sprinkle the blood seven times upon the mercy seat, making atonement for the sins of the people. But the ancient priest was not allowed to stay in there. Once he had done his duties, he went in, he performed his task swiftly, and he departed from it. In a year's time, he would go back on the Day of Atonement and do the same thing for the atonement of the people. But with Jesus Christ, everything's different. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, He entered into the presence of God, making eternal atonement for everyone that would receive Him by faith. One time, He went in and offered. And when He died on the cross, you remember what He said? He said, it is finished. Friend, I'm telling you today, if we could lose our salvation, it wouldn't be finished. But I'm glad today to know that I'm safe and secure in Him. And no matter what happens to me, and I know we all enjoy life, and my heart goes out to the people that have lost loved ones during this COVID, these COVID cases and the things that's going on. And we need to pray for them. But understand today, we're all in the hands of the Lord. And one day we'll be with Him forever. And you know, Jesus, when He entered into the presence of God, He did something no priest ever did. He sat down at the right hand of God, where He's seated today waiting on us. You see, there was no chairs in the temple or the tabernacle. The work of those priests were never finished. Jesus, however, did it His first and last time. He went in one time, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and He's making intercession for you and I. Friend, I don't know today whether you needed this or not. I think all of us always need to be encouraged by it. But friend, we need to know we're saved. There's no reason for us to battle over it or fight over it or worry over it. Somebody said, what if I stumble? Your anchor still holds. You said, what if the devil attacks me and gets me off course? My anchor still holds. Regardless of what this life may bring into view, the anchor still holds and grips that rock, which is Jesus Christ. One day the tide will come in and we'll just grab hold of the rope. And the anchor will pull us right toward it until we reach that place called heaven. I was thinking about the little boy, and I've used this illustration in the past. The little boy was flying a kite one day. I never was very good at flying kites, but I've seen some people that can fly kites so high that you couldn't see them. And a man walked by one day, and he said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying my kite. The man looked up in there, and he said, I don't see no kite up there. And he said, the little boy said, I don't either. He said, well, how you know it's up there? He said, I can tell because every now and then there's just a little tug that lets me know it's still there. And friend, that's on the waves of life. There's a little rope attached to the anchor that's in Jesus that reminds us that He's still there. And no matter what happens in our life, we can put our faith in Him. Friend, do you know this morning that you're saved? Do you know this morning you're secure? Thank God for people that come to the house of God, people that want to hear the Word of God, people want to rest in the promises of God, to be in the presence of God and the place of God. But oh, what a joy today. I have a hope, and my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where's your hope this morning? I trust it's in Him.